Blog Talk Radio. down the street one day. A pretty lady looked at me and said her diamond watch had stopped so dead. That day. Walking down the street one day, being pulled and shoved by people trying to beat the clock. Oh, I just don't know.
Between you and me, always I know. So easy to be your lover. We wandered through the days like they had no end. But now that you are gone, I'm undercover. I just can't think about you as a friend.
Take it easy on me. It should be easy to see. I'm getting lost in the crowd. Hear me crying out loud. Just want you to know, I know that you have to go. It's all up to you, but whatever you do, take it easy on me. So now I'll go the minstrel road without you. I know there will be times when I'll need you there. And each night as I sing those songs about you, I'll think back to the time when you used to care.
Take it easy on me. It should be easy to see. I'm getting lost in the crowd. Really trying out loud. Just want you to know. I know that you have to go. It's all up to you, but whatever you do, take it easy on me.
Yeah. Thank you. Such an angry young man.
quite right to me. And how can there be such a sinister plan that you'd hide just a lamb that you carry in your hand? And you're fooling yourself.
Fooling you don't believe it.
You're killing yourself.
Yeah. game from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folk can survive.
A good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nuts in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop about and you can't make them run. But when them old boys raised on shotgun, we say praise and we say ma'am. If you ain't in the back, don't give a damn.
We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
God damn right they can. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Crazy Nation Radio. It's your host, Ron Ruck, the nutty fucker. Been gone all week. It's been a busy weekend. But I dragged my crippled ass across the land to make sure the grandchildren all had fun. And old grandpa couldn't do nothing. But sit there on that plow. It's all I can do now. God damn it. God damn it. Yeah. I don't think he's ever seen soil, gunslinger. I don't think he's ever seen it, God damn it. Anyway, besides all that, boy, man, has the charges been piling up on the old Biden family? My God, and they're saying, well, they can't fuck with a sitting president. Well, his son ain't a fucking sitting president. He seems to be the main fucking distributor of this. He's the dealer. He is the dealer. My daddy is the king. I am the prince, and you give me whatever fuck I want, motherfucker, from wherever you're from, motherfucker, because I'm me, motherfucker. I smoke fuck whores, and I am the baddest motherfucker in the land. So give me the five plus the five for the man, and we fucking cool for a minute. If you don't, you're going to like the consequences, because when I get mad, motherfucker, I stay mad forever. Ever. God damn you. Fuck y'all think talking to me that way, motherfuckers. I get everything. I know it all. You know nothing. So anyway. Yeah, that's about what it seems like, doesn't it? It really does. It seems like a total fucking chaotic bunch of bullshit. You know? Shit. Yeah, you're... that ain't happening. That ain't happening, cuz. I don't know. Hell, King George, shit. Yeah, King George was a motherfucking fucked up king, wasn't he? The real King George? Huh, once they're related. Could be, you know. Anyway, of course, you know, I'm going to play some clips, you know, that's how I do it. Play this, but I'm not going to fucking crank it all the way through. So maybe check this out and we'll get into that. But we're going to get into the FedNow thing, too. That's come up, so we're going to get into that. So anyway, check this out. This old Tucker Carlson pissing people off, so here we go.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. Let's say you wanted to control a country. How would you start? Well, you'd want to make sure you had the complete obedience of everybody inside your borders, who was authorized to use deadly force. You would start with the military and then federal law enforcement and move your way down ultimately to agencies like the IRS. Controlling the guns would be a top priority for you if you ever wanted to go dictatorial, if you wanted to be baby doc. But let's say you had deeper ambition. Let's say you wanted the power not simply to control people's behavior, but to control how they think, not just their bodies, but their minds, as a god would. In that case, you need to take charge of the society's taboos. A taboo is something that by popular consensus is not allowed. A taboo may not be illegal, but it doesn't need to be. Over time, social prohibitions are more powerful and more enduring than law. Societies are defined by what they will not permit, as are famously religions. Muslims don't eat pork, neither do Orthodox Jews. Traditional Christians oppose extramarital sex. The Amish avoid electricity, and so on. American society isn't overtly religious, but it's governed by taboos, and it always has been. What's interesting is how fast our taboos are changing. This is not happening organically. What we're allowed to dislike is being dictated to us from above, sometimes by force. Until fairly recently, for example, it was taboo in this country to attack people on the basis of their race. That was the main lesson of the Second World War, we were told again and again. The one thing we learned from the Nazis is that it's dangerous to reduce human beings to their genetic code. There is no master race. That made sense, but apparently we no longer believe it. Punishing people based on their skin color is not only permitted in modern America, it is mandatory throughout business and government and higher education, as long as the victims are white. At one time, that would have been unimaginable. So with the current behavior of our politicians. As recently as the 1992 presidential campaign, adultery was considered disqualifying for anyone seeking higher office. Bill Clinton was very nearly derailed in the New Hampshire primary by his affair with Jennifer Flowers. Clinton went to elaborate lengths to lie about the relationship because he had no choice. But he was the last presidential candidate who had to meet this standard. By 2008, it was obvious to anybody who was paying attention that Barack Obama had a strange and highly creepy personal life. Yet nobody ever asked him about it. By that point, a leader's behavior within his own marriage, the core relationship of his life, had been declared irrelevant. It was Barack Obama's business, not yours. One by one, with increasing speed, our old taboos have been struck down. Those that remain have lost their moral force. Stealing, flaunting your wealth, striking women, smoking marijuana on the street, shameless public hypocrisy, taking other people's money for not working. All of these things used to be considered unacceptable in America, not anymore. So it probably shouldn't surprise us the greatest taboo of all is teetering on the edge of acceptability, child molestation. A generation ago, talking to someone else's children about sex was widely considered grounds for a thrashing. Touching them sexually was effectively a death penalty offense. Jeffrey Dahmer was bludgeoned to death in the bathroom of a Wisconsin prison in 1994. The Milwaukee District Attorney had to caution the public not to turn Dahmer's killer into a folk hero. Jeffrey Dahmer had molested and murdered children. People felt justified in celebrating his death. 25 years later, that standard had changed dramatically in the state of Wisconsin, as in the rest of the country. In the summer of 2020, during the BLM riots in Kenosha, 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse defended his life from a convicted child molester called Joseph Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum was trying to kill Rittenhouse, so Rittenhouse shot him in self-defense. But it was Joseph Rosenbaum whom the media cast as the victim of the story. Kyle Rittenhouse, meanwhile, an underage boy fending off violence from a child molester, was denounced as the villain. Ultimately, he was indicted for murder. One of the things that this tells us is the people who run our country no longer see child molesters as the worst among us. It's never been more obvious than it was yesterday when the Wall Street Journal ran a long expose about kiddie porn on Instagram. Instagram, the journal found, quote, helps connect and promote a vast network of accounts openly devoted to the commission and purchase of underage sex content. Instagram connects pedophiles and connects them to content sellers of child pornography. In one instance, the paper discovered that Instagram was recommending the phrase incest toddlers to users who'd expressed interest in similar material. By the way, no one at Instagram denied that any of this had happened, nor did Mark Zuckerberg, who controls the company. The journal story was accurate. It was all pretty shocking. but not as shocking as what happened next, which was effectively nothing at all. The largest circulation newspaper in the United States revealed that one of the world's most influential companies was promoting pedophilia, and nobody in power did anything about it. The Justice Department did not announce an investigation. Congress did not schedule hearings. The guy who runs Instagram, Adam Mosseri, still has his job. In fact, Mosseri's last tweet, which is pinned, is a video of himself bragging about how effective Instagram's algorithm is. Keep in mind as you watch this, it's real.
People often talk about the algorithm. There is no one algorithm for Instagram. There are many algorithms and ranking processes we use to try to personalize the experience to make it as interesting as we can for each and every person who uses Instagram. We believe in this idea of personalization. What you're interested in and what I'm interested in is different, and so therefore your Instagram and my Instagram should be different.
What you're interested in and what I'm interested in is different, Mosseri explains patiently. So your Instagram will be different from mine. You're interested in children. That's why you're getting all the incest toddler posts. It's a highly personalized experience. That tweet is still up tonight. Of course, everybody at Instagram, in fact, everyone everywhere in authority, will still claim to think that child molestation is bad, but the tone has changed unmistakably. When they say it's bad, they mean it in a kind of abstract way, bad like a civil war in Central Africa is bad. You wouldn't prefer it, but there are reasons it happens. That's why we now refer to pedophiles as minor attracted persons, because honestly, who can judge? These people are a sexual minority, so pause before you attack them. And in any case, it's not like pedophiles are barging into the Capitol building to sit in Nancy Pelosi's chair or asking uncomfortable questions about the last election. For miscreants like that, no punishment is too harsh. So far this month, the FBI's Washington field office has issued 11 press releases. 10 out of 11 have been about January 6th. Keep in mind that January 6th happened more than 2.5 years ago. Now you know why the feds were ignoring kid touchers on Instagram. They're too busy to respond. They've got much more important things to do, like finding white supremacists. White supremacists are America's new child molesters. We've got zero tolerance for white supremacists because no one threatens the life of this country more than they do. Here's Joe Biden once again making that very clear last month.
To stand up against the poison of white supremacy, as I did in my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say it wherever I go.
Pardon the feedback, but you get the point. White supremacy is the most dangerous threat to the American homeland. Joe Biden just told us that. It's more dangerous than the threat of nuclear war with Russia. It's more dangerous than the threat of the Mexican drug cartels, who've already killed hundreds of thousands of Americans and are now in control of swaths of our southwestern states. White supremacy is that bad, Joe Biden says. In fact, it's worse. But what is it? That's the question. Can anyone in authority actually define white supremacy? What is it? Is white supremacy liking white people too much? If so, that's going to put those of us with white children in a pretty tough spot. Or is white supremacy something much more obviously bad, like trying to expel all non-whites from America and creating some kind of ethnostate? If that's Joe Biden's definition, what exactly is the scope of this threat? How many people are currently working on this American white ethnostate project? And what are the chances they're going to pull it off? Our guess is not very many and precisely zero. But we can't say for sure because no one has showed us the numbers. These are not rhetorical questions. When the President of the United States describes something as the worst possible crime Americans can commit, you have a right to know what that crime is. You used to have that right. Under our pre-revolutionary legal code before George Floyd, questions like these were easy to answer. A crime was defined as something that an elected legislature had explicitly banned, usually an act that hurt somebody else. In America, crimes were described precisely with words in English and then preserved in books, which you could read yourself. If you ever wondered whether you were committing a crime, you could just look it up. You could know for sure whether you were a criminal. Now you can't. And needless to say, that's the point. The point of the exercise is to keep you off balance, to keep you afraid. When no one's willing to define the offense, you can't be sure whether or not you're committing it. You could be accused at any time and everything you have taken from you. You live in fear. Remember this guy?
Emmanuel Cafferty was driving near a Black Lives Matter protest in Poway in his SDG&E truck when he says he noticed somebody following him and trying to get his attention. Later, that person posted a picture of him making what some believed is a white supremacy symbol on Twitter. Cafferty says he had no idea about any white power symbols and was just cracking his knuckles outside his window when the picture was taken of him. Later that day, he says he was notified by SDG&E that he would be suspended pending an investigation, and a few days later, he was fired.
What that man did was so offensive, as you just saw, that local news had to blur the photograph of his hand. He was fired from his job. His life was destroyed for cracking his knuckles. He didn't know cracking his knuckles was racist in his defense, but then nobody did until the day that poor Emmanuel Cafferty was unwise enough to crack them. When a crime has no definition, anyone can be guilty of it. It's to relax in a country like that. The old system was better. Government operated on the basis of laws, not amorphous moral terror. Politicians couldn't accuse you of something they couldn't define. The legal code was straightforward. Child molestation was a crime. Having unfashionable opinions was not. Outside of the public sphere, the population mostly governed itself, as it does in every society, and used taboos to do it. You knew what was allowed and what wasn't because the rules didn't change very often. The taboos were organic. They derive from collective experience and instinct, the two most reliable guides to life. They evolved for a reason. They still do. Our job at this point is to protect them, despite the hectoring, the nonstop hectoring from the people in charge. You know the outlines of right and wrong. You're born knowing them. So don't let them talk you out of what you can smell. Don't let them rationalize away your intuitive moral sense. Cling to your taboos like your life depends on them, because it does. Cherish and protect them like family heirlooms. That's exactly what they are.
You often hear people say the news is full of lies.
Some Kennedy's motorcade.
209.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. This morning, it looks like somebody blew up the Kakhovka Dam in southern Ukraine. The rushing wall of water wiped out entire villages, destroyed a critical hydropower plant, and as of tonight, puts the largest nuclear reactor in Europe in danger of melting down. So if this was intentional, it was not a military tactic. It was an act of terrorism. The question is, who did it? Well, let's see. The Kakhovka Dam was effectively Russian. It was built by the Russian government. It currently sits in Russian-controlled territory. The dam's reservoir supplies water to Crimea, which has been, for the last 240 years, home of the Russian Black Sea Fleet. Blowing up the dam may be bad for Ukraine, but it hurts Russia more. And for precisely that reason, the Ukrainian government has considered destroying it. In December, the Washington Post quoted a Ukrainian general saying his men had fired American-made rockets at the dam's floodgate as a test strike. So really, once the facts start coming in, it becomes much of a mystery what might have happened to the dam. Any fair person would conclude that the Ukrainians probably blew it up, just as you would assume they blew up Nord Stream, the Russian natural gas pipeline, last fall. And in fact, the Ukrainians did do that, as we now know. It's not like Vladimir Putin is anxious to wage war on himself. Oh, but that's where you're wrong, Mr. and Mrs. Cable News consumer. Vladimir Putin is exactly that sort of man, the sort of man who'd shoot himself to death in order to annoy you. We know this from the American media, which wasted no time this morning in accusing the Russians of sabotaging their own infrastructure. Bill Kristol, the man who once told us that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11, immediately denounced Putin as a war criminal and even more savagely compared him to Donald Trump. The rest of the pundit class made similar, clearly coordinated noises. Putin did it! Putin did it! And their reasoning was simple. Putin is evil. Evil people do evil things purely for the dark joy of being evil. In this specific case, Putin attacked himself, which is the most evil thing you can do, and therefore perfectly in character for a man that evil. That was their explanation. No one who's paid to cover these things seemed to entertain even the possibility it could have been Ukrainians who did it. No chance of that. Ukraine, as you may have heard, is led by a man called Zelensky. And we can say for a dead certain fact that he was not involved. He couldn't have been. Zelensky is too decent for terrorism. Now, you see him on television, and it's true you might form a different impression. Sweaty and rat-like, a comedian turned oligarch, a persecutor of Christians, a friend of BlackRock. But don't believe your own eyes. Actually, Mr. Zelensky is a very good man. The best, really. As George W. Bush once noted, he is our generation's Winston Churchill. Of all the people in the world, our shifty, dead-eyed Ukrainian friend in the tracksuit is uniquely incapable of blowing up a dam. He's literally a living saint, a man in whom there is no sin. That's why Lindsey Graham is so attracted to him. They're just two good people hanging out together and being good. And like all good people, when they meet in person, they spend a lot of time talking about killing people and laughing like friends do. Here's the pair last week.
Free or die.
Free or die.
Now you are free.
Yes.
And we will be.
And the Russians are dying.
The best money we've ever spent.
Thank you so much.
Now it's...
The Russians are dying. It's the best money we've ever spent, Graham says. A smile spreads across his thin, quivering lips as he forms the words. He looks like a starving man contemplating a breakfast buffet. The aroma of death has aroused Lindsey Graham. Thanks so much, replies Zelensky. He feels the same way. See, there's nothing dark here. It's just two middle-aged guys celebrating the killing of a population. They don't seem like the kind of people who'd enjoy flooding villages or starting a famine. And in any case, who cares if they are? It's really not your business. Your job is to support Ukraine. Watch Nikki Haley, a Republican candidate for president, explain this principle on CNN.
A win for Ukraine is a win for all of us. And for them to sit there and say that this is a territorial dispute, that's just not the case. To say we should stay neutral, it is in the best interest of America. It's in the best interest of our national security for Ukraine to win. We have to see this through. We have to finish it.
See? It's very easy to understand. It is vitally important for you to support Ukraine because it's necessary for Ukraine to be supported by you. Your support is mandatory until it's finished, whatever it is and whatever that means. So shut up and support Ukraine or else you're in trouble. Back when they still taught logic, statements like this were known as tautologies. Something is true because it is. The more you repeat it, the truer it becomes. It's a self-reinforcing reality. There was a time when tautologies were considered illegitimate arguments, not to mention hilariously stupid. Only dumb people talk like that. Now everybody in power talks like that. Diversity is our strength. Trans women are women. Zelensky is Churchill. It's all self-evidently true. Doesn't need an explanation, and don't ask questions. Sound familiar? Of course it does. That's the pap they're serving us day after day in steaming, lumpy portions. At this point, it's possible that American citizens are the least informed people in the world. Your yak herder in Tajikistan knows who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. It's obvious. Does he think some skinny dude in a dress is actually a girl? Come on. That idea would never occur to him. You've got to be lied to at full volume over a period of years in order to reach conclusions like that. And of course, we have been. The media lie. They do. But mostly they just ignore the stories that matter. What's happened to the hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars we've sent to Ukraine? No clue. Who organized those BLM riots 3 years ago? No one's gotten to the bottom of that. What exactly happened on 9/11? Well, it's still classified. How did Jeffrey Epstein make all that money? How did he die? How about JFK? And so endlessly on. Not only are the media not interested in any of this, they are actively hostile to anybody who is. In journalism, curiosity is the gravest crime. Yesterday, for example, a former Air Force officer who worked for years in military intelligence came forward as a whistleblower to reveal that the U.S. government has physical evidence of crashed non-human-made aircraft, as well as the bodies of the pilots who flew those aircraft. The Pentagon has spent decades studying these otherworldly remains in order to build more technologically advanced weapon systems. Okay, that's what the former intel officer revealed, and it was clear he was telling the truth. In other words, UFOs are actually real, and apparently so is extraterrestrial life. Now we know. In a normal country, this news would qualify as a bombshell, a story of the millennium. But in our country, it doesn't. The whistleblower's account ran on a technology website called The Debrief, which you've probably never heard of. The Washington Post had that story, but decided not to run it. The New York Times, meanwhile, just pretended it never happened. On the front page of the New York Times website this morning, there were five stories about Ukraine, as well as four stories apiece about Donald Trump, trans people, and climate change, the usual lineup. There was nothing at all about how an alien species is flying hypersonic aircraft over our cities. Not one word. So if you're wondering why our country seems so dysfunctional, this is a big part of the reason. Nobody knows what's happening. A small group of people control access to all relevant information, and the rest of us don't know. We're allowed to yell all we want about racism, but go ahead and talk about something that really matters and see what happens. If you keep it up, they'll make you be quiet. Trust us. That's how they maintain control. When Western tourists first started traveling in large numbers to the Soviet Union in the early 1970s, they found that many Russians had a completely warped understanding of the United States. They thought that Americans lived in grinding poverty, in a state of perpetual race war, and were desperate to flee to the freedom and prosperity of the Eastern Bloc. They thought this because that's what they had been told. They had no way to know otherwise. The few Russians who understood what was really going on in the rest of the world had learned about it from listening to shortwave radio broadcasts, sometimes under the covers so the neighbors wouldn't hear. 50 years later, it is bewildering to consider the ironies here. We're the ones who live in ignorance now. The U.S. government has managed to classify more than a billion so-called public documents. So at this point, we can't possibly know what our leaders are doing. We're not allowed to know. By definition, that is not a democracy. Yet it's fine with the media. Secrecy is a powerful tool of control. Stop asking how we got so rich. Here's a story about racism. Go eat each other. That's the program. That's how most of us now live here in the United States, manipulated by lies, silenced by taboos. It is unhealthy and it's dehumanizing, and we're tired of it. As of today, we've come to Twitter, which we hope will be the shortwave radio under the blankets. We're told there are no gatekeepers here. If that turns out to be false, we'll leave. But in the meantime, we are grateful to be here. We'll be back with much more very soon.
Okay, so there you go. Ain't that nice? I've said it all. They want to control us. That's all they fucking care about. But anyway, do you have another one I wanted to play? So anyway, let's check this out real quick, and then we'll get to talking some shit. This is a right up time. Lynette Zhang, urgent warning to silver and gold and CBDC. So here you go.
What will stacking gold and silver be like in a world controlled by CBDC?
Essential. Absolutely, positively essential, because it's the only way that you can maintain your freedom.
What will a CBDC do to the price of physical gold and silver? Hey, everyone. Thanks for watching Yankee Stacking. Today, I have the privilege of having Lynette Zhang back. This is a must-watch video, people, and I really believe it will earn your YouTube like down below.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. I had so much fun the last time. I was really looking forward to this.
Okay.
Well, just for people that might not...
This is not the clip I thought I had, so that was bad. All right, let me back it up, y'all. See what I did wrong, God damn it. Let's check out the news. Let's try this for a second.
And begin this Sunday morning with the most significant charges ever leveled against a sitting president, influence peddling, and a government cover-up.
I think the American people are paying attention. I think the American people are going to watch this hearing closely.
Yeah.
It's going to be televised, and hopefully, they will get a better understanding for the level of criminality that the first family has participated in over the past decade.
Extraordinary charges from Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer telling me that the Biden family took in tens of millions of dollars from foreign nationals as a quid pro quo. for changes to U.S. policy. And this past week, explosive new claims from a pair of IRS whistleblowers on the felonies that first son Hunter Biden should have been served with, if not for a complete whitewash by Joe Biden's Department of Justice. IRS agents Gary Schaffer and Joe Ziegler charging they were stopped from pursuing the truth on Biden family crimes. Watch.
Our investigation was constantly hamstrung, limited, and marginalized by DOJ officials as well as other U.S. attorneys. I still think that a special counsel is necessary for this investigation.
With the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office and Department of Justice handling the Hunter Biden tax investigation was very different from any other case in my 14 years at the IRS. At every stage, decisions were made that benefited the subject of this investigation. I can say that there were investigative steps that involved President Biden that were not allowed to be taken.
This comes as Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley released an FBI document this week alleging Joe and Hunter Biden coerced the CEO of Burisma to pay them for getting the Ukrainian prosecutor who was investigating the energy company fired. The FBI document claims that Burisma's CEO told the FBI's confidential human source that it costs $5 million to pay one Biden and another $5 million to pay the other Biden. Joining me right now with all of this breaking news in a Sunday Morning Futures exclusive is House Judiciary Committee Chairman and House Oversight Committee Member, Congressman Jim Jordan. Mr. Chairman, thanks very much for being here this weekend.
Good to be with you, Maria.
Explosive hearings this week. Can you take a step back? What was most important in terms of what you've learned from these whistleblowers and this testimony?
Well, yeah, I think if you step back, there's sort of three fundamental questions here, Maria. The first one is, what were the Bidens doing to get the money? I mean, 20 different shell companies, 9 different Bidens getting paid. What was the service? What was the product? What was the value they had? The only logical explanation here is it was access to Vice President Biden, maybe even before that, Senator Biden. The second key question is, was he really involved? Was it just this Hunter Biden's operation, or was Joe Biden involved? It sure looks now like he was, based on this confidential human source and the information we got in the 1023 form sent to Senator Grassley. And now I think we're at the important final stage of this whole thing, which is, who are you going to believe? The two whistleblowers whose testimony has been consistent, or the Garland Biden Justice Department, which can't get their story straight? David Weiss has said 3 different things over the last month and a half about how he handled this investigation, what authority he had. The whistleblowers have been true, consistent, and their testimony has not wavered. So I think now that's the important phase. And frankly, that's the part that the Judiciary Committee is really going to examine, because David Weiss, Maria, said on June 7th in a letter to me, he said, I have full authority to determine where, when, and whether to file charges. And,
you know, these people have been sellouts since fucking day one, man. Day one, the Biden family has been the sellouts. Anything for a dollar. It doesn't matter who the fuck they got to fuck. And of course, they got to keep him in there to get by with the shit they're doing. I mean, they're getting by with all these fucking crimes. So they want to keep these people there so they can get by with crime. These other motherfuckers. I'm telling you, man. They're letting shit slide. I mean, the Biden's, yeah, you pay me enough money, I'll let you do whatever the fuck you want, man. That's the way the fuck this game's being played. Fuck me. Anyway, I'm going to turn your phone on, bro. There you go. Anyway, what do you think, Gunslinger? And it doesn't seem like that to you, man. These motherfuckers are sellouts. Fucking crazy. You just listen to the story. They're like, fuck.
They're sellouts. They're traitors to this country.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just big time.
It's just like, you know, the Supreme Court, when they wouldn't hear the, you know, how poopy pants stole the election. If that's not a constitutional issue, what the fuck is? What the fuck is?
Right. Well,
that's what they do are two different things.
You know, think of it that way, Gunslinger. Remember, there's U.S. citizen and there's American citizen. Maybe it's the same way for them.
But that's what they were originally set up to do. That's what they were originally set up to do, is to take care of constitutional issues of this country. How much more constitutional is the President of the United States? Pretty damn constitutional.
Right.
So them fuckers that refuse to see it or hear it, the case, whatever, they're fucking traitors in my book. They're traitors.
Well, they are, but it's okay in their lineup. You understand there's two different people here. You got the U.S. people and you got the American people. You're talking two different fucking things here, man, you know? A lot of people, oh, no, they mean the same. No, they don't. No, they don't. Look it up. Don't, like I said, don't believe me, motherfucker, to look it up yourself. You'll find out. You will find out the reality of that shit.
Well, they did it, what, two or three times now. You know, they wouldn't look at a butt buddy's legitimacy to be president because he would never cough up a fucking birth certificate.
Right.
To prove that he was a U.S. citizen.
Exactly.
Okay? They refused that.
And when Trump won the presidency, that was the biggest mistake of their fucking life. Fuckers all had strokes, you know it?
Oh, I hope they did.
They did.
Fuck yeah, they did. And now he's trying to get back. They're freaking out now, and all this shit's come up about Biden. And, you know, think people ain't paying attention to this shit?
Yeah, they're paying attention.
They're fucking ignorant. Or we're ignorant, one of the two. We've been pretty ignorant quite a while. Tell you the fucking
truth. I know, something's doing something. Somewhere.
Fucking retarded shit, you know what I'm saying? I mean, now they want to control the money. They want to control your kids and fucking their sexuality in the schools. They open the fucking border, let fentanyl roll through the country and kill millions of Americans. You know, let all these motherfuckers roll in here and give them everything they fucking need, but fuck the people that live here. You know, that's just the way it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, how many more things could we expect, you know? Fucking up the production industry in this country, fucking up the oil, fucking up the fuel, fucking everybody. Jack up the price, jack up the taxes. That's exactly how that works. You ain't got to ask for people to fucking vote on tax anymore. It's automatic, man. They fucking just jack up the price of the product.
Yeah.
That's how you get more money, because the more fucking tax you got to pay.
When you heard that clip, you played it last time, I think, with Uncle Pence, you know, saying that I don't care about the American people. I care more about the fucking people in Ukraine.
That's right.
If that don't kind of beat your head a little bit and saying, wake up, motherfucker. Did you hear what he said?
President? Right.
Yeah. And he was vice president.
Ukraine does.
And he's running for president.
Right. The only thing I can think, two things in fucking Ukraine is the oil, which fucking really no big threat. But I'm just thinking it's a goddamn, it's their fucking hub for fucking criminality. It's their fucking laundromat for money. You know what I mean? I mean, they launder money to the whole country like no fucking tomorrow.
Now, there is a third thing that I would want Ukraine is that Ukrainian pussy. Okay? They some hot bitches over there.
There is not?
You know, Ukraine. There is. It's Russian. You know, Ukraine's Russian.
Oh, yeah. I got a buddy that's got a Russian old lady, man. She's a fine motherfucker.
Yeah, see? They got some hot pussy over there.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Well, go look up at that young kid. Well, she's a fucking teenager, late teenager now. I think 18, 19, something right there. Mm-hmm. I can play that violin. You know, playing since she was 5 years old. She's Ukrainian.
Yeah.
100% Ukrainian. Boy, she's fucking hot. Let me tell you, beautiful fucking white.
Well, that's cool. Okay. Hey, Think, welcome to the show. Think for yourselves in the chat room. Anyway, I mean, his wife, her sisters, and just, man, these are multi-million dollar models. I mean, these chicks are something else, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know. That's all cool. Yeah, they got two daughters too. Like, my God, crazy. Yeah,
it's amazing. I mean, blonde hair, blue eyes. Fuck me, goddamn.
Oh yeah.
Sheesh. Hey, man.
I used to date a Polish chick in fucking high school, gunslinger, and she was the finest thing ever. I mean, she would just fucking drop dead.
Oh, Polish, yeah. Polish got some hot bitches too. Oh, yeah.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. Oh, she had everything perfect about her. All the way down to her fucking feet were perfect, man, you know?
There should be a law against that. Oh, damn.
Should be. Absolutely.
Being so goddamn perfect. Like, I mean,
we was not hiding for a year. And then she fucking decided to take off this old fucking boyfriend she used to have. And when I was in college, she got killed. So it was into that.
She got killed.
Yeah, she got killed.
Yep. Oh,
Yeah, mailman found her in a ditch, choked with her fucking holster top.
Yeah. Who did
it? That something? They say the ex-boyfriend, but they can't prove it. They can't prove it. He's still walking today, free.
Oh, shit. So,
yeah. But, you know, shit happens. But it's tripping me out. I'm like 200 miles away, you know. And I called up another girlfriend of mine and said, oh, fuck, I thought that was you. Yeah, fucking folks, they didn't say the name of who it was, you know. She goes, well, you don't know who it is? I said, no, I have no idea. That's why I'm calling you. She said, make sure you're okay. I still care about you. You too, you know. She goes, well, it was, you know, it's Chris Babalish. I said, okay, no, okay. That sucks too, but because she knew about me, or, you know, she knew, everybody knew about me and Chris, you know.
Yeah.
I got more fights with mine, you know, fucking with her, you know, trying to flip her and shit. Yeah. She was fine. Couldn't blame them, you know.
To have something that's fine, you'd have to have armed bodyguards with
practically.
You all the time.
Yeah.
Practically, I'm serious.
Yeah.
If this bitch is that goddamn hot, that fucking desirable, you'd have to have, man, you would have to be walking around armed.
Like I said, I've been in many fights, man, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So,
jeez.
You know. But, you know, she tried to get fucked stupid and took off back to her boyfriend she had before me. And that's cool.
Damn.
And she went dead headache. She got pregnant, too, somewhere along the line, apparently. And then, you know, it got killed.
Yeah.
So, as much as I nailed her, she'd be fucking pregnant, had 30 kids, but now, at least I'd tear that motherfucker up. So, you know, back in the day. Now my wife.
Way back when?
She looks all right, I guess. She looks okay, but, you know, she looked better years ago. No, at least she ain't Chinese. You know, Chinese chicks, Japanese chicks can be fine as a motherfucker, but when they get old, oh my. You know, look, that chop suit just fell apart, you know.
Yes, ugly son of bitches, let me tell you.
Yeah, they are. Yes, sir.
Jeez. Yes, sir. Well, just like the damn Mexican chicks, too. Mexican chicks, when they're young, they fucking hot.
850, that's got to be Dink. What's up, Dink? Welcome to the show.
They get big as a goddamn balloon.
Yeah. How's it going? What do you think for your self world? Do what? I'm sorry.
I just said, yo, Dink.
Yeah, he's on here with us on the phone.
Hey, guys. I was hearing you guys talking about all this murder. I was listening to you guys talking about all this murder. Wanted to jump on here. Hey, is it just me or does it seem like there's more serial killers now than before? Like back in the days, I remember Jeffrey Dahmer was like a big thing. You know, like when Jeffrey Dahmer was discovered.
Right.
They're finding serial killers left and right these days. And a lot of them are not even making the news anymore.
I don't know. I've never really caught on to that. I haven't seen much of the news. Like, so I don't watch the actual television at all. I know, there's more mass shootings than ever. I know that for sure, you know. But I don't know about serial killers. I know motherfuckers killing old families and shit. I don't know if they're being considered a serial killer. I don't know what makes a serial killer. You know, I mean, I know somebody that kills multiple people. I got that. But does a relationship consider it kill old family? You know, is that a serial killer?
How about I ask you this, Ron? Do you think that some of us are born like evil, or do you think along the way we become that evil? Do you know, through life lessons, something happens to us we snap.
That's very well. There's a lot of things that causes a person to want to kill. There's a lot of things. I mean, you know, like a girlfriend breaking up with you, for example, losing a family member, being cheated on, being fucked over, especially when it comes to money. I mean, more divorces are started because of fucking money, you know.
Well, Jeffrey Dahmer was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. Who was that guy that was a lawyer? He was a good-looking guy, and he started killing all those girls, the women. I forgot his name.
I remember him, but I can't remember. But Jeffrey Dahmer, I knew his mother. All right.
What? You knew his mother?
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer's mother. Yep.
Oh, shit.
I knew her. I knew her for a whole school season. Yeah. She was my third grade teacher.
Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah. Sure was. Her name was Sister Mary Dahmer. That was her name.
Damn.
Mary Dahmer.
It
wasn't
Jeffrey
his real
Dahmer?
Mother. I'm fucking with you. No, I'm bullshit.
Oh,
no,
I'm
she was
say,
a nun.
What the
sister.
Fuck?
Yeah. Anyway, okay. She was the meanest old bitch you ever wanted to meet. I swear to God. Which can't be a bitch. She never got fucked by nobody. Nobody would fuck that. I promise you, nobody would. She was an evil-looking old broad. And she beat the living dog shit out of me till I could say the word idea. I kept saying ideal, and she beat the shit until I said the word idea. Now I know the word very well. You know, forwards, backwards, right, left, every fucking direction. But her name was Mary Dahmer. This is before Jeffrey Dahmer got popped. All right, you know what I'm saying? But when I heard Jeffrey Dahmer's name on the fucking radio, and he was a serial killer and killed all these people, I said, fuck, I know his mom. Mrs. Dahmer,
hey,
bitch.
It's not idea. It's ideal. Like ideal, D-E-A-L.
Right.
I've got an
ideal. I know. I got it. Yeah, I know. I know I was wrong, but I couldn't help it. I was stuck on it. You know, it's kind of weird. I was just stuck on that for some fucked up reason. So anyway, but I didn't after being brutally beaten. But it used to be okay to beat children back in the days. You know what I mean?
It was okay back then, yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. Fucking right. Them nuns, man, didn't give a fuck, man. Them Catholic nuns were evil bitches, man. Can you imagine a person that can't take a shit, how mean they would get? If you couldn't take a shit, you turn into one mean motherfucker, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? This woman never got off her, and I don't think she ever pissed. She was a mean motherfucker, man. Yeah, Sister Mary Dahmer. That's who she was, yeah. Yeah, buddy.
Damn.
I'll never forget that woman. I still see her bottom teeth screaming at me like that fucking lion roar look at, you know. You know, lips are real tight and sweaty, and fucking she's right fucking up. Different ways to French kiss me, you know what I mean? Screaming at me. The word is I fucking deal, motherfucker, you know? Damn, Sister Dahmer, God, you bet they can. I'm just a little boy. I don't care, you little cocksucker. The word is idea. Bloody nose, bloody lip, fucking hair pulled out, fuck, smack marks on my face, you know, choke marks on my neck. I'm serious. I'm not kidding about that part. That's how brutal it was, man. She was sucking something. Got home, cried to my mom, we probably saved it. Oh, thanks, Mom. Love you, too. So so then I heard about Jeffrey Dahmer on the radio, and oh, my God. I was half drunk and partying when I heard that. Yeah, fuck, I know his mom. Yeah.
I think that most of, or at least a lot of these mass shooters, okay, I think they're born evil. I think they're born evil. They always...
But I believe most of it is on how people are raised. You know, in intellect, how they think, or what they, you know, whatever they've been fed.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's like, well, the thing I was saying is, man, like video games and shit, you know what I'm saying? Say you was tortured as a kid, you know, the neighbor kid kept fucking with you or something, or you had parents molesting you or uncle fucking you or something, whatever, you know, something going on in your life all the time. Or you was beaten, starved to death, tortured, you know what I'm saying, like that when you're a kid. Growing up, that was, I'd say, would have a trigger mechanism to that thought. You know what I mean?
That would have to be the trigger, you know?
Right. But you see what I'm saying? But you see, well, look, man. I knew a motherfucker one time. He lost his job for ICG Golf Railroad, and he fucking got laid up from his job, just built a new house, shit like that. Anyway, he took his twin daughters to his mom and dad's, spend the night with them. And his older daughter and her girlfriend and his wife was watching TV. He came back home after dropping girls off, walked in the bedroom, put a 44 Magnum through his head.
Yes.
You know, yeah, ain't that nice?
Yeah.
So, you know, because he lost his job, that's what it was about. Then another friend, his teenage daughter, found out that Martin shot himself because he was told he had cancer, and they read the wrong file.
No shit.
No shit. Yeah.
Damn.
So he wasn't planning on suffering, so he's going to take it out now, but there's nothing wrong. Ain't that sad? Fucking sad. So people, you know, I think it's, it could be a trigger that could cause it, or it could be they are evil. Yeah, that's all they are. All they want to be. Just don't give a flying fuck. There are them people, the kind out there. They're consistently fucking just mad at the world, mad at every little thing, everything. And I think that's a mental issue. I think it's a mental problem. They have a problem in their fucking brain. They're fucking crazy.
Well,
yeah.
Look at once you said that. Look at our favorite buddy there, George Zinser. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He's a mental issue. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you blow off at the fucking handle at fucking nothing, that indicates you have a very bad temper. That means you got mental illness of some type. Okay.
I think he does it for attention, though. I'm telling you, I think he does it for attention.
Maybe. It may be a little percentage there, but I think most of it is just, it's just because he can't control his anger.
Well, he's a tard.
You heard him off. Well, I know
he's
that.
A tard.
But, you know,
he's a tard.
But you've heard him on a hot mic. They didn't, you know, before the show starts or whatever.
Right.
The least little thing goes wrong. The computer fucks up. It's a goddamn machine. What do you think? It's going to fuck up. And then, I mean, all hell breaks loose, let me tell you. There's lots of times that I had to fucking mute the goddamn sound. I said, I ain't sitting there listening to this goddamn bullshit. And the show didn't even say anything started yet. It's already raising fucking hell. Jesus Christ, come on.
Yeah.
Normal people don't do that. I mean... You know, yeah, you may have a bad day here. You know.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, we haven't had a school shooting in a while. That's been kind of odd, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Biden will say, "Why stop school shootings?"
Oh yeah, he'll take the blame. He'll take credit for it.
He'll take credit. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think for that question, it's I don't know, man. That would be there's a lot of things that makes a person do that. A lot, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, technical reasons, I guess.
There was a school shooting last week. In fact, school shootings are on the regular. It's almost like every other day there's a school shooting. Yeah.
So that's
and
why we don't hear about
killers
it.
These days. Yeah. It's so normal now. And you know the media is hiding a lot of this bullshit. You know, they're hiding it.
Right.
They're hiding all this stuff. The serial killers, we're up to like 80 that are like this year alone, 80. And it's just so abundant. I don't think people even care. It's just, and me personally, I read this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it talks about people that are rich and people that are poor. The majority of people that are poor was from their dad. Their dad gave them this mentality of like, you're never going to be rich, and taught the child to think that way. And so when the child think that way, he grew up, guess what? He was poor.
Right.
But rich parents teach their child a different mentality. And then guess what? Usually they grow up rich. Now there's that line that of education that was taught to them. And I think it's the same thing with serial killers. Something they were taught this along the way. Something happened to them and made them snap. I don't think anybody is born evil. I just think that it's something in life that caused them to do that. Like I said, Jeffrey Dahmer was an alcoholic. I would say that the alcohol made him lose his mentality, made him weird.
That could very well be. No doubt about it, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think he was born that way. I don't think he was born and was like,
well,
I'm going to start eating people.
Well, I've seen children though that at a very young age be really fucking evil, you know, from birth.
When you have that type of person, obviously they're suffering from severe mental illness, even at a young age.
Something,
They have these, these suicidal thoughts. They have these, well, I want to go out there and I want to dismember this cat when you're 3 years old.
Right. Well, they got rage you want to get. That's a rage, too, type feeling sensation.
Rage, you know, it's just like trying to get.
These people are automatic, you know. Like BTK, I think BTK was the most methodical fucker I ever seen killing people. He was a dog catcher. You know what I mean? The motherfucker was a dog catcher. And he left him all kinds of clues. They never caught him.
I don't know if people, like, to talk about mental illness, I don't think mental illness is something like a disease, like bacteria got into you, and then you have mental illness. I think mental illness is an action in life that happened, like somebody molested you, and now it mentally destroyed you, and now you're not the same anymore, or that person.
They have classified... In the medical records, you go look it up. That liberalism is a mental disorder. It's actually It is. Go look it up. I didn't believe it at first until I looked it up.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Liberalism is a mental disorder. I mean, look at it. I mean, if your parents are liberal, they're blown out fucking liberal, and you've been taught ever since you was fucking born that the liberal way. Well, that's going to, all of a sudden, you're going to become mentally ill with that liberalism.
It's indoctrination with that you're talking about.
Indoctrination or same thing, but you're still going to become that I'm holier than thou, you know, than you, and that kind of bullshit, you know. I should have been a fucking psychologist, didn't you?
You know what? I was just thinking about what you were saying the other day, Gunn. I was just thinking about this. I think that, man, you just hit the nail on the head of what I was thinking about. Now, to me, liberalism is all the media put together. When you watch the news and the movies and listen to the music, I think that's all liberalism. Most of the children these days have with the purple hair and all the weird tattoos and piercings everywhere. I think that they're just they're just loaded with all this liberalism, you know, all the media and all the music and all that. And I think it's destroying them.
I don't know how to say it.
It is
destroying them because mental illness will eventually lead you to do these serial killings or these mass shootings or whatever, okay? Because if you're not put into a mental institution pretty quick, okay, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. Where people that go as a psychologist, okay? Well, you know, if I don't do this, you know, I got a friend of mine that he's a Vietnam vet, okay. He did two tours of duty over there in Vietnam. He came back shell-shocked. He was a teacher before he went over there, okay? He was a high school teacher. He was all kinds, real smart guy, okay? But when he came back from that shell-shock shit, you wouldn't believe the change that you could see in that guy, because he went on to be a journeyman electrician, because I helped him pull permits because I was a master and everything. But he has this powder fetish, because I've been over his house a couple of times, meet him on jobs and everything. And his whole house looks like a 50 cases of baby powder exploded, except for one little area in the kitchen. The kitchen sink is spotless. You could eat off that fucking sink. It's so fucking clean. And we called his doctor out here at the VA, and we asked him, a doctor, psychologist, or whatever. And he said, don't stop him from doing that. And we said, why? He said, because in his mind, he's still fighting those people over there. And if you try to stop him, he may turn on you because he may think you're the enemy. So see how it fucks you up? I mean, that fucks you up majorly.
Oh, yeah.
My whole family, I'm Vietnamese. My whole family are soldiers. My dad was a Navy SEAL, and I hate that motherfucker. I swear to God, if I see him, I will punch him in the face. When I was young, I was abused by him. And as an adult now, when I was younger, I always thought that he was evil. He would always just like yell at me for like some weird shit. Like we'll be in the car and then he'll just come up with some random shit like, you know, the other fucking day you didn't pick up that penny on the floor and we would drive for half an hour with him screaming at me for not picking up a penny on the floor a week ago. And this was all through my childhood to my adult. And I hate the motherfucker. I swear to God, if I see him, I'll punch him. I'll probably kill him if I see him these days. But as an adult, I realize now that it was because of the war. It fucked him up in the head because of all the things that he saw. My whole family are killers. My dad, like I said, was a Navy SEAL. He was there killing people. And my uncles, I don't understand why my other uncles are not affected. Only my dad is. My other uncles, when they get drunk, they'll brag about hundreds of people that they killed. My dad never said he killed anybody, but he's just psychopathic. My other uncles would laugh and joke with me. I don't know. I do think that if my dad didn't go to the war and if he wasn't a soldier and experienced that, I think he would be a good guy. So my point with this whole thing is I think it's an experience that we have as a child that makes us become serial killers or violent in general. I don't think children – no, but you are right, Ron. I also heard this, that all children are violent. We have to teach the children to become civilized. Children are like animals. If we don't teach them to be civilized, they will maintain right. The animalistic
personality. They have to be tamed. That's right.
They have to be tamed. Yeah.
We call it education, but it's still tamed.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, it's the psychological experience of just what you said. If a girl gets raped at a young age, she's basically worthless from their own. She'll never trust anybody. She damn sure ain't going to trust no man. That's for damn sure. So there's a ruined person right there. Physically may be perfect, but mentally, shit. Stay away from that kind of shit. You know, it's like the,
you know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm a rape victim. I still feel the same. I'm a rape victim.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you're normal.
Are you serious?
I have been raped.
I don't.
Yes, I have. I have been raped. Yeah.
I don't know if I can trust you, Ryan, after what you said earlier. Are we serious here? Or are you going
to... About me being raped? Yeah, I was raped. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know who she was. I woke up and there she was, you know, doing me. You know, I was a little drunk. I understand, but, you know, I don't remember ever starting that, you know, but she seemed to like it. You know, I seemed to like it, but I still say it was rape because I don't remember starting it. So I think she took advantage of me.
What?
And I asked her. Are you a molester? Are you a musician molester? Do you molest all musicians? Is that what you do? And she said, "Yes, I do." So, hey, you know, I was raped by a whore. So, how much better can you get?
I'm kidding.
I was never raped. I'm just, I did actually, but you know.
I dated this girl that told me she got raped. I should have never dated her. I should have listened to. I wish you told me that earlier, Rod. But she was raped, and she was consistently thinking that I was cheating on her. So because she was thinking I was cheating on her, she would always cheat on me. And here, I don't even care. I'm just trying to live my life. But she was always.
No, that sounds like a narcissist. That sounds exactly like a fucking narcissist.
Yo, that's her. That's her.
Yeah.
She's definitely a narcissist.
Yeah, she's out doing what she's blaming you for doing. Yeah, that's a fucking narcissist.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And she was telling me she got raped when she would always say stuff like that. Like, I got raped by this guy.
Right. Feel sorry for me. It's the classic narcissist.
Feel sorry.
They got no reason to fuck. Yeah. Because I know women have been raped and they live normal lives. You know, they get, motherfucker wanted it that bad. You know, well, they just took it. Which is wrong. There's no doubt it's wrong. It is very wrong. I'm not a fan of anybody being raped anyway. You know what I mean? I had a sister that got raped and left for dead. So, you know, I mean, she survived it. But there again, still, man, what the fuck, you know?
I would have killed the guy
the rest of my life. Well, things were handled. Things are fine. Yeah. But, you know, it's just one of them things, you know. I believe in karma, you know.
But yeah, it was a girlfriend of hers that fucking did this shit, you know. And wow, you know. So just left her somewhere by herself. And she found some decent guy to give her a ride, and fucking hit her and the guy wind up in the trunk, and they raped her. Beat the guy by half to death, almost killed him, too. You know, so pretty fucked up. But, you know, her friend shouldn't have left her there by herself. First off, you know. But, you know, people that care about anybody anymore are very far and few between. Very few people give a fuck about anybody anymore, you know. Like I said, a buddy of mine had the same neighbor for 15 fucking years, never waved to him, never said hi or ever talked to him. 15 years.
Wow.
Believe that shit? Yeah, crazy. I mean, they're right next door. They live in a fucking subdivision. I mean, these houses are over fucking like 5 feet apart from each other, you know. If one would catch on fire, the shirt up the next to it's going with it, you know what I mean? They crammed them fucking houses in there, brother. Fuck. But, yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's a crazy thing we live in. It's a crazy fucking world, isn't it? Look at these politicians. Are they all a bunch of crackheads, fucking nutcases? Because that's what it all seems like, a bunch of nutcases running the show. You know, like, no motherfucker got any common sense at all. Yeah, it's a fucking circus act. It's right in the goddamn circus act.
They ain't got no common sense.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's the money.
Shit.
It's money. I guess once you get like that level of money, you just look at I hate to say this because I know you're a musician, Ron, but look at musicians when they come from poor to suddenly like millionaires. What do the first thing that they start doing? It's like overloading on drugs, extra overloading on drugs, and the politicians are the same way. I feel. Like, now that they have all this money.
Well, musicians, that depends on the musician. You know, when you're young, yeah, you want to party and get the pussy and do all the drugs and think you're real cool and all that shit, and you have no idea of fucking the business. You don't know how to handle money whatsoever. You're spoon-fed a lot of shit. At the same time, you're being fucking taken advantage of. You know, I see a lot of young musicians. Well, great artists, you know, good. You know, we call them one-hit wonders. They ran them around the circuit for a while and fucking throw them up. You're fucking done. Most of them got jobs fucking busting dishes and fucking washing dishes or whatever, you know, bagging groceries. That's what they went from, being a fucking super rock star millionaire down to fucking zero, nothing, you know. That's because they didn't know how to handle money. They weren't taught how to handle money or nothing like that, you know. Me, on the other hand, I didn't know how to handle money. And I kept away from the bullshit. I didn't want fame. I didn't want to be famous. You know what I mean? That's not the life I wanted, you know, because you're a slave to the system then. You know, I ain't part of that shit. I just ain't, you know. I love playing music, but I don't want to be involved with the fucking commercial assholes and shit like that. You know, record companies, stuff like that, because they run you, you know. Your agent, your manager, fuck. You know, I've had them, but I controlled the world. I didn't give a fuck what they said. You know, don't suggest shit to me, you know. I am what I am, and that's it. That's what you get. So, if the price is right, I play the gig. It's all that matters. I'm freelance.
You know, I went to an art school. I wanted to be a painter. I went to college in Atlanta to be a painter, and I used to do a lot of drugs when I was younger. But drugs isn't, I used to smoke weed a lot when I was younger with a whole bunch of friends. And then one day, I don't know what the hell happened, but one day this guy on the train was like, God's calling you. And it was God's calling me. And then like the next couple of days, it was like a different person. It was like, God's calling you. And then I kept hearing it. And so they're like, go to my church. And so, I've been hearing people telling me go to church. So one day I just went into this weird church on Auburn Street. And I remember I walked in there late. It was during the benediction. And the preacher looked at me and said, the devil goes to church. What the fuck? Why did he look at me and say the devil goes to church? And then I thought about it, and then he broke it down, why he said the devil goes to church. And then I started thinking, like, I always thought that The church was a holy place. The devil cannot enter the church. Why would he say that? And it started making sense to me. And then I started questioning my friends. Are these really my friends? Are they really, like, here to support me and help me?
Right.
Or are they here because, you know, I'm doing drugs with them? And then that's when I started changing my life around. Just those simple words, the devil goes to church, made me question everybody I knew. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that changed me from going that route, like the drug route, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've been woke up.
But that's my opinion.
No. You've been woke up. That's cool. That's good, man. That's a good thing. You've been blessed. I mean, I'm not a religious person. I really ain't. I don't really believe in religion at all, to tell you the truth. I'm technically an atheist. I mean, I do believe there's a God of some sort, you know, maybe a Jesus, you know, and that's cool too. But I don't believe the Bible. That's one thing I just don't really believe in too much of, because, I mean, some things, make sense, but it contradicts itself so much in the book, and you read it, you know.
I'm the same way,
the scrolls and, you know, King David and all that shit. Yeah, well, King David was a fucking wacko. And he had the Bible written by a fucking Catholic priest. You know, so, fuck all that bullshit. So, but
yeah,
the
I'm
reality
the
is what it's what you believe in yourself and your own heart. You know, if you believe there's a God and he can do something for you, that's great. That's super. You know, I have nothing against it. I'm not against it. But I think religion has gone way too far. You know what I mean? This is man-made, cockamamie bullshit. I mean, it is. It's a money game. It's a con game. You know, it's all fucking like a circus act. Like the carnies are coming to town, you know? And people think, why did you say that, Ron? Let's have some examples. Jim Baker. Never paid taxes. Fucked people out of tons and millions of dollars. They opened up all this bullshit theme park, all this fucking shit, making money out the ass. And people are just dumping it in his lap. Just dumping it. You know, you got to send me the seed that I can put in the ground and you'll get 10 times more back and all this bullshit. You know what I mean? Then you got Jimmy Swagger. Here's a fun character. Jimmy Swagger. Sorry, motherfucker. Gets caught fucking a hooker. All right? And he's a television evangelist. Comes on the air. And he's crying, begging for forgiveness. You know, I was weak at the time. Jesus, God save me. God, just forgive me. You understand, Jesus. I hurt my flock. I hurt myself. But God has said, I'm free and I'm okay and it's all right now. And, you know, he forgive me for my sins. And what happens? So he says, gets caught again. So, you know, man, come on. That's when I said, fuck that. You know, that kind of sold me on TV evangelist period. You know what I mean?
That's kind of like.
Then you got that Kenneth Copeland, that motherfucker. That chick interviewed him at the airport, where the fuck he's at. And he's got them eyes, it's like the devil, like a fucking monster, you know?
Well, there was, Jesus, like I said.
I can't be in a tomb of demons, but a tube of demons, you know, that's being a commercial airline, having a private jet. Get the fuck
there was,
out.
There was a church here in Dallas that it probably had 5,000, 10,000 followers or whatever.
Yeah, mega
Patrick
church,
came
man. Mega
Patrick, well, listen to this. The pastor came out as gay, okay, and half the church left and went with him. Half the fucking church.
Wow.
That's crazy. That is insane.
You know? Well, like the other one, Benny Hinn, he's another one. He's a faith healer, you know? No, you can walk again. You can get your dick hard again, you know? Oh, shit. You know, it's bullshit. You ever see that movie Leap of Faith with Steve Martin in it? Remember that movie? Any of you guys seen it? Leap of Faith? No.
I haven't seen it.
Well, you need to watch that, because that movie, it's a comedy, but it's the fucking truth. They're running around with a bus and a couple trucks. And they set this big fucking revival tent in any fucking town they could hit, you know what I mean? And they take the money from the fucking people, you know? And you see how it's all set up. It's all rigged like a motherfucker. The actors inside, the crowd of people, they pull up on stage, make a walk again, all this shit and all kinds of bullshit. They got canes and fucking walkers and wheelchairs and shit for these actors. They bring all this shit with them, you know? So leap of faith, look at that.
But anyway, guys, go ahead.
All right. No. Go ahead. All right. Thanks for having me on your show. I hear that.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming and hanging out with me. Anyway,
yeah.
We are running out of time, so I'm going to blow this camp because I got to work in the morning. So, yeah, come with me. Take yourself. Glad to see you too, man. It's been a fun show. I'll try to do as many as I can this week. Just keep looking for them. We'll post it on Facebook, right, whichever way, Mixer or fucking whoever sends it. All right, man. You have a good night. All right, be good. Gunslinger, behave yourself, and I will see you guys a little bit later. So behave yourselves. See you later.
I love you.
Let's play into the sun, let's do it.